This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey, everybody, it's Aaron Norris. I am really excited today to be hosting TJ Clark. He is part of Turnkey Rentals. And prior to co-founding Turnkey, TJ was the president and CEO of Limos.com, which became the largest online marketplace for limo and car service. It expanded globally and launched partnerships with companies like Orbit, Sabre, Concur, Delta Airlines, Live Nation, and OpenTable, just super small companies, right? And prior to that, TJ was VP of operations at IAC, or Interactive Corp, which included over 85 internet brands with 20 million visitors per day. I wish I had that kind of traffic. And sites there included Expedia, Hotels.com, Ticketmaster, LendingTree, and Match.com. And that is quite the array of websites. TJ was also part of Hotwire.com, their startup team, back in 2000. And as far as Turnkey Rentals goes, Turnkey Rentals is one of the largest full-service property management companies in the U.S. It's one of the fastest-growing startup companies in Austin, Texas, and has raised more than $20 million in funding. Original investors include the likes of Expedia, Zillow, Hotwire, Glassdoor, and HomeAway. And Turnkey was founded to make the problems of, and pain points of renting vacation homes go away, and most importantly, to make sure there are no surprises for guests and owners. And one of the reasons that we're even talking today is because I actually stayed at a property 2 weeks ago in Palm Springs, had a very good experience, and it was partly because of the technology and your company. So welcome, TJ. Really happy to have you on the show. So, of course, and I'm going to list five headlines that are from the last 5 months having to do with vacation rentals. So we will work with New York to protect affordable housing. Judge puts San Francisco vacation rentals law on hold. Palm Springs vacation rentals crackdown is long overdue. Anaheim school district voices opposition to vacation rentals, and Anaheim City Council bans short-term vacation rentals. So vacation rentals are nothing new. We've had bed and breakfasts around for probably hundreds of years. We've had timeshares, and maybe even up to a decade ago, second home buyers would
go into some desirable beach or ski location. They had disposable income. They would buy a second home or a cabin, and they would rent it to vacationers when they were not using those homes. And then more recently, what you've seen is, people that were once advertising those rentals through word of mouth, through local property managers or real estate agents, or classified ads in newspapers. You've seen essentially the downfall of classified ads across all categories. Thinking of the old newspaper style classified ad, it's been replaced with marketplaces online. So you have, instead of people buying a drill, let's say, for their house, by going to a classified ad, they're going to eBay. Mm-hmm. And Airbnb and HomeAway have become essentially the same thing to vacation rentals, and you've seen them become very widely available online. The demand is really there, and it makes the ability for homeowners to get into the process of renting much, much easier than it was in the, say, old days. And now you see vacation rentals popping up all over the place because it's very easy to go online, very easy to add some photos, add your rates, and start making real money on what is, for most people, one of their most valuable assets that they're sitting on, and can make actual returns for those owners quickly. And now you see that in metros, people are doing this more than ever before, which has been a big part of the reason why you have neighbors and city councils looking at the issue. What's surprising to me is in places like Palm Springs that you mentioned and the regulations there, a traditional vacation rental market forever and ever. Part of the reason why home values, a second home centric market, and a big supporter of real estate values in those markets has been through short-term renting. And yet they're still facing opposition there.
Yeah, of course, technology has just been a huge driver behind this. But has the growth been so explosive, and that's why it's really coming to the forefront? Or is there just bad players and bad behavior? Like, why now?
A little bit of that. I think that there is actually one of the main arguments that you'll hear against vacation rentals is that they are noisy or overcrowded, or they produce garbage that isn't taken care of, or extra parking burdens. That's one argument. Those have been statistically shown to be happening in very, very small number of cases. For example, in Austin, Texas, there was regulation imposed on vacation rentals, and the city did a study. And out of 1,200 licensed vacation rentals, only four were found to be second homes that were noted by the code department to have repeated violations for any type of code, whether it was noise, parking, or garbage. And so it was four out of 1,200 that was cited as a major reason why this new regulation had to be put in place. And that just doesn't make sense when you have laws that have been on the books for decades on those three things. It could be easily enforced against four bad apples, if you will. And it is important to be good neighbors, and it is important to follow the law. And those folks that were operating should have been doing that. But you find actually in long-term rentals that the incidence of those things happening is actually far greater.
Yeah, and Palm Springs, some rules that they just came down with are really onerous. Have you looked at those?
Yeah, so those are interesting. And there are flavors of what Palm Springs is doing happening all across the U.S. There are jurisdictions that are trying to figure out how to deal with this issue. And in our opinion, they're not dealing with it very creatively and in a way that recognizes that this is a type of travel that's very popular and it is not going away. They are trying to impose bans is sort of one far extreme, which is in Palm Springs, they're saying, look, in multifamily housing, we're not going to allow it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. In single family housing, we're going to restrict the number of days. But none of them are going to the core of the issue, which is it's important to be good neighbors. It's probably very important to pay taxes, things that we support. And let's come up with a framework where we can enforce that, where people, guests have chosen this as a way that they want to travel. And this is a big deal. The trend in online travel, this is probably the most pronounced trend that has been measured in decades in travel, which is that travelers are now preferring to stay in unique and private accommodations more than ever before. One in three U.S. travelers has used a private accommodation or a vacation rental in 2015. Yeah, when this was measured in 2010, only one in 10 travelers had used it. So it's a big deal. And it's not going away.
No, not at all. And I mean, what's the size of the industry? What are we talking about here now in 2016 going into 2017? I mean,
yeah, it's a huge, huge category. Number one is there are about 7 million vacation rentals. And this doesn't include timeshares, 7 million across the U.S. and Europe. About half of those, or 3.5 million, are in the U.S. And of those, about 1.5 to 2 million are listed in HomeAway and VRBO. The average revenue that an owner will generate on VRBO is about $29,000 a year of rent, which is great because they can stay in the rental and use it for their own vacations, and then they can rent it and make good income otherwise. And that's how we think about the numbers on that side of the equation. In terms of overall dollars, we believe that the dollars spent in the U.S. is about $80 billion per year and growing. It accounts for 20% of the worldwide revenue of the lodging industry and growing, and it represents 36% of the room nights in the entire lodging industry across the world, which shockingly is expected to go to more than half in the next 2 years by some analysts. So think about that for a second. Half of the lodging going on in the world will be private accommodations in the next 2 years.
That's crazy. It is very shocking. I had no idea it was that big. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of study for a report that we're working on for February, and we're researching a lot about virtual reality, the other VR. So there's a lot of talk like, hey, Dad, let's meet in New York City for a cup of coffee. We're sitting, you know, in our houses in California, but virtually we're going to be able to transport to, you know, a different location without having to be there. And my thought on it is really it's all about experience. I don't think travel is going to stop. I almost think it's going to be more important. So I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on why people are choosing these unique experiences and a home instead of being at a hotel where somebody makes your bed every day?
Yep, that's right. Well, it's really being driven by a younger traveler that's more digital and has more hotel-like expectations in the way they travel as far as like checking out and having reliability of their stay. And they want to have authentic, unique experiences. So if you're going to most metros, the hotel offerings are boxy. They are centric to the downtown. They offer no real individuality or authentic experience of what it's like to actually live in that town. And I heard a really interesting quote from a younger traveler themselves the other day. It said, you know, when we go travel with our friends, and we hear that someone had to stay in a hotel, we're like, I'm sorry that you had to stay in a hotel as opposed to staying in an Airbnb.
That's
right?
Hilarious.
The expectation is starting out. Yeah, like you want to stay, if you want to stay in a unique neighborhood, that's a very interesting experience for people. And there are often no accommodations there through hotels. It was also interesting that a new Airbnb study highlighted that these private accommodations are a positive force in the Black and Latino neighborhoods because hotels don't exist in those neighborhoods. So you have local owners and Black and Latino descent who are benefiting from income that they can make on their homes in those neighborhoods. And the neighborhoods themselves and the store owners and the shop owners and the restaurateurs in those neighborhoods are benefiting by having folks stay, and guests want to stay there.
That's so interesting. Why are they so bad at telling that story then? Why is it that they're getting so hammered in the media? And
yeah, well, there's certain forces are against growth, right? Local neighborhood associations basically want nothing to happen in their neighborhood like this or like any kind of development. That's a voice. There are affordable housing advocates who have pinned their hopes to this. But, you know, a recent Zillow study just came out about 2 weeks ago that highlighted that this is not that short-term rentals are having very little to no impact on housing affordability. Housing affordability has been a long-term issue that's been facing the cities, and the cities have chosen not to deal with it effectively. And now they're essentially blaming this against short-term rentals, which short-term rentals account for less than 1% of the overall housing stock. And so they just mathematically, and if you ask these economists that were surveyed by Zillow in their study, it has no meaningful impact. It is a red herring there.
Right.
And so those are really the voices. And then the third is the hotel industry, which is largely unionized. Is fighting against this tooth and nail. If you want to talk about one category that really is being affected by short-term rentals, it's the hotel industry's ability to gouge on peak events and when popular holidays and occasions where they're able to double or triple hotel room night rates. And then locals who put their houses into inventory on Airbnb or HomeAway are able to increase supply. And that brings rates way down, and that really is hurting the hotels, and they do not like it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm that guy who wants the experience. So in the last about year and a half, I can think of two trips I used Airbnb. One was for my best friend who's getting married. So the bachelor party, we went to Big Bear. We got a really cool house. And if we had to replicate the number of rooms that we got with the house, it probably would have been at least double the cost if we stayed at hotels. And it was cool because we all got to stay together. We got to play board games. Oh gosh, I'm such a nerd. On this huge, cool table. I mean, it was really an experience. And then 2 weeks ago, my best friends and I decided, you know what? Let's not get anything for Christmas for each other. Let's just go hang out. So we did an extended stay in Palm Springs. It was warm enough to use a pool. you know, got to cook together, go eat out. And again, actually this time, if I had to recreate that experience at a hotel, it probably would have been more than double because of the rates at the hotel. So I understand both of those issues and why they would be freaking out. I'm just trying to, I can see the hotel pushing back, but I really thought the hotel industry was getting in on it. The pool broke at the place I was staying in Palm Springs, and one of your pool guys came out like within an hour. He was awesome. And he and I chatted for like 20 minutes on the state of the industry and sort of what was going on in Palm Springs. And he said the former mayor had a ton of vacation rentals. And actually, I think he said he sold them to Marriott. So is the hotel industry now getting into the single family space?
Well, they are. It's early innings, I would say. They have had some traditional resort-type properties, and they've had timeshares. And, you know, it's funny. Like, timeshares started out as a little bit of a unique animal in the lodging industry, and it took quite many years before it became legitimized by the big brands getting into it. And I think that's what you saw here. You saw hotel brands fighting and are fighting still the private accommodation rental space, but what you're going to, I think, see over time is that those hotel brands, you know, think about Marriott for a second. They now have acquired Starwood. They have 33 hotel brands that they're trying to go after every single segment of the lodging space, from high-end to economy to leisure to business, and cover that segment with 33 brands. And then you have the statistic that in 2 years, as many as 50% of hotel nights might be going through private accommodations, which is something that they do not offer right now.
Right.
And that is a big wake-up call for the industry. So you see some, I think, more progressive brands like Accor acquiring One Fine Stay, which is a collection of fine homes, and offering that as part of their hotels chain. I think you will see more and more of that happening with large property managers, you know, across the country.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a little bit too and talk about the infrastructure. So we've talked about VRBO, Airbnb, and HomeAway. I really thought Airbnb was sort of maybe a little bit more mature and more market share. Can we talk about sort of the infrastructure as far as the players that need to be in place and all that kind of good stuff?
Sure. There's really in the U.S. market space, there's about four big ones that matter. HomeAway and VRBO are, of course, part of the same company. They're now owned by Expedia under one roof. There's Airbnb. There is Booking.com with Priceline Company, which is the largest hotel seller in the world. And if you're a homeowner and you create a listing in those four channels, you're going to be reaching about 95% of the guest audience. It's very consolidated industry from the guest demand or the guest side of this marketplace equation. And you're pretty much going to pay the same thing through any of those sites. They all charge somewhere between a 12 to 15% commission to list your property. And you only pay when you get a booking.
Interesting. So there's really not much as far as, I'm so glad I ended up getting to interview you because you can tell us things like this. So between those brands, there's really no difference maybe besides user experience, perhaps. Is there different age groups using those different sites, or what do you think?
Yes, there is a difference. Yeah, there's a little bit of, there's an interesting difference. Like if you go to HomeAway and VRBO, that has more traditional vacation rental inventory right now, it has more private home inventory. So whole homes, standalone homes, in places like the Florida beaches or the Summit County ski markets, you're going to find that type of inventory more prevalent. You're going to find an older demographic of homeowner also on those, and frankly, a slightly older demographic or more mature demographic of guests using that portal. Higher price points, larger homes, more groups, Airbnb, younger demographic. Smaller homes, half their inventory is shared, half is private, and younger homeowners as well in that space. And then Booking.com and TripAdvisor are pretty similar to HomeAway type of inventory. And you know, one thing that we thought was very interesting about this space is that it has been extremely innovative in the past 5 years. So you've gone from owners being able to just basically go onto VRBO and put up a couple pictures on their home, where a guest would make an inquiry, ask you some questions to find out if the home was even available, to all homes on HomeAway having to be bookable and with accurate inventory and rates, which is precisely how Airbnb operates. And so you get this amazing innovation that has happened on the guest marketing and booking side, but we looked at what we consider the supply or fulfillment side, everything that happens after you make the booking, and we thought in this industry there's been very little done in terms of innovation. And that's where we think technology plays a huge role. You have the ability to have field management with mobile, with mobile devices that are widely available at very inexpensive costs, and broadband that's good, generally available. That's how you can really innovate in the field space. You can attack the noise and guest screening and other issues in whole new ways with technology, by sound decibel sound monitoring, Ring doorbell monitoring of frequency of, you know, wow. If there's a whole bunch of people coming in and out of your house, you can monitor that today. You have really interesting guest screening that can be done to positively identify, like when you log into your bank account on Wells Fargo and they ask you a couple of three questions, they can identify who you are with a very high degree of certainty and your age. Managing and monitoring your cleaning crews, giving them task lists, providing an Android tablet in the home that can be a portal into some great guest services, and really, really elevate the experience, make your home operate as good neighbors in your neighborhood, quiet neighbors and compliant. And that's where we think in the longer term this is going to succeed, because it generates real revenue for owners. Guests really want it. We feel like these, you know, just to close out our discussion on the regulations, we feel that politics works in cycles, and where local city councils haven't done anything about the past 5 years in this run-up, now they're overreacting. The pendulum is swinging the other direction, but this isn't going away. And we feel like through the use of technology, which is really interesting in this space, in the next 5 years, these issues are going to get largely sorted out, and we hope that the regulations will not be nearly as much of a factor, and the problems caused by vacation rentals will not be nearly as much of a factor.
I knew this was going to happen. We covered so much ground, and we didn't get to all the questions I wanted to, but let's do one more question. We've got about 1 minute. What are the biggest markets and your favorite markets? If I were going to buy a vacation rental to rent out, what do you think?
Favorite market for fun? You know, number one, you should pick a market that you want to go to and spend some time in, right? That's the beauty of the vacation rental. I love Nashville for fun, for an investment, for a great community and a great experience, a place that would be fun to stay. That's a personal choice. Love music. But for you, you should pick one. You should start by picking one in a place that you love to travel. And there are areas where I think you can find the right balance between a good investment and one that can be profitable, where if it's a fun place to stay, other people are going to want to stay there. That's the number one factor, I think. And then what does it cost you to get in and sort of upkeep, taxes, that type of thing. And what's, of course, is the regulatory environment.
Yes, and we're going to
get more. Lots of
that.
Good markets.
Okay.
There are 500 markets on HomeAway that have more than 300 listings in them.
Wow.
So lots of good places just in the U.S. Where you can do this.
All right. Well, let's close this segment out. TJ, if they want to find more information about Turnkey Rentals, where should they go?
Sure. If you're a guest and you want to travel, you can go to turnkeyvr.com, and you'll land on a search page where you can find all of our rentals in our 33 markets and growing. If you're an owner, you can, and you might want some help in managing a rental, then you can inquire through those pages as well, and we'll get in touch with the local. We're local in all of our markets, and we'll have a local general manager reach out to you.
Well, thanks so much, TJ.
Thank you, Aaron. Really appreciate it.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.